Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back to the show and welcome back to me, because I have taken a bit of a break from creating episodes on here. Sorry about that. Didn't announce it, didn't plan on doing that. But as some of you might know, I moved to Bali about 7-8-ish weeks ago. And so naturally, I've been getting into the groove of being in a totally new country, creating the foundations for the next chapter of our lives. And I always want to make sure that I go for quality over quantity when it comes to the show. And I wanted to just give you my full focus and effort. But I'm ready, I'm back, and I'm so excited that you're back here with me too. In today's solo episode, I'm gonna dive into the art of getting rid of embarrassment and stepping into becoming your most unapologetic self. I think so many people aren't actually going out in the world, showing up, being their most unapologetic self, or expressing themselves authentically because they're afraid of being embarrassed. They're afraid of embarrassing themselves. They're afraid of being cringe. And this can show up in so many ways. Like, a lot of the time, it's not even this big conscious thing. It might just be that you're not even allowing yourself to explore certain avenues of expression or certain choices, because deep down, or even on the unconscious level, there's just that fear of embarrassment, that fear of looking stupid or being judged, ridiculed, ostracized, or fucking up and falling on your face in public. And isn't that just such a human thing? I think we all deal with that, or we've all dealt with that in some capacity in our lives. I think it's part of the messy nature of being human. Part of our deep unconscious mind's job is to keep us safe. And one of the ways that we feel safe as human beings is through our interpersonal relationships, through feeling that sense of belonging and acceptance from others. We don't exist on our own in a little vacuum. We're not a lone wolf. And so it makes total sense that this is an experience that we go through. I just want to normalize that. And in this episode, I'm going to give you some really hot takeaways and tips for stepping out of the pattern of playing small because you're afraid to be embarrassed. In fact, actually stepping out of embarrassment as an experience in itself can be such liberating work. And so I'm hoping that this episode is just going to light a fire in your heart, maybe under your ass, to go out there and not to just stop being embarrassed, but to go out there and do the things that you're not doing, that you deeply desire to do because you're embarrassed. So you're not doing those things right now, or you're not showing up in those big or full ways because of the embarrassment. That's the end goal with this episode. First things first, I want to share this quote with you that I saw on Instagram the other day. It said, "Your healing journey hits different when you realize dysregulated people are going to accuse you loudly of all the things they are quietly." That was shared by sensible_amber on Instagram. I'm going to say it again. Your healing journey hits different when you realize dysregulated people are going to accuse you loudly of all the things they are quietly. that just struck such a chord for me personally. I would love to hear from you on Instagram if it also struck a chord with you. I think this really cuts to the core of why so many people hold back on their fullest expression, or hold back from pursuing their biggest dreams, or hold back from being their most unapologetic self in public or in their career or through their business or on the internet, because they're anticipating those dysregulated reactions from people. They are anticipating those projections from other people. And for a lot of us, that's such a valid thing to expect or a valid thing to be worried about. Shout out to my five lines in human design in this moment, because five lines get projected onto all the time. I've heard them referred to as walking triggers in human design, or like the walking projection field. And I get it as well, because I'm a 3-5 in human design. So shout out to you guys. But I think this is an experience that a lot of people have when they're wanting to do something bold or put themselves out there in some big way, but they find themselves hesitating. They're worried about having all of that shit dumped on them. So let's normalize that those worries exist. Let's also normalize the fact that we don't have to let those worries get in the way of us taking action, stepping forward, being really unapologetic and visible, or pursuing the things that we want to pursue. Those two things can exist together. So something that I hear a lot from my clients, or when people submit questions that they want covered on the podcast, it'll usually be some variation of this sentence. I really want to be da da da, but I'm afraid that people are going to criticize me, judge me, tear me down, say that I'm wrong, say that I'm an idiot, like whatever the variation of that sentence is, it's kind of like the same issue, yeah? You want to be something or do something, keyword, but you're scared of this. One of the most empowering things that I ever learned in one of my very first coaching trainings was to take the but in the middle of that sentence and replace it with the word and. So let's say that sentence again. I want to be or do, insert whatever it is that you want to do. And I'm afraid of people judging me, criticizing me, tearing me down. Notice how when you remove the but, turn it into the and, it's like, oh, these two things are not in opposition to each other. They're just coexisting in my experience. So we can allow people to have those dysregulated reactions. Of course, set boundaries, use that block button if you need to, if this situation is occurring on the internet for you, and pursue our wildest dreams and show up unapologetically and still do the damn thing. This is so subtle, so simple, but I think sometimes in our minds, we create these subconscious scenarios where we have to eradicate the people judging us in order to do the thing. Or we have to wait until we're no longer afraid of someone else's loud criticism in order to step forward more brightly, more boldly. And the truth is, you can walk with those fears. You can walk with those experiences. Like, of course, tend to the emotions and the thoughts and do the mindset work in those moments where embarrassment does come up. When you feel judged, when you feel criticized, it's not about bypassing those experiences. Do the healing work, for sure. We got to do it again and again and again, of course. But you don't have to be stuck in this vacuum of healing, 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 trying to get rid of your reaction to criticism, or trying to get rid of a situation where you could be criticized. So, aka trying to do everything perfectly and never really fully stepping out there because you're trying to erase the possibility that someone might think you're cringe or they might judge you. You don't have to create this either or scenario for yourself. This reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. At this point, I didn't even know who originally said it. I've tried to figure this out on the internet because it's been quoted, spoken about, and regurgitated so many times online. But the quote is so simple. It is, let them be wrong about you. Let them be wrong about you. So simple, but so life-changing, so profound. So often we create a lot of inner turmoil for ourselves because we're anticipating that we might get embarrassed if we express ourselves in this way, or if we go for this thing and we fail, or if we make a mistake. Shout out to my perfectionists in this moment. And so often we're playing this game of trying to forecast what people might think of us, or we're trying to micromanage other people's perception of us, of our intentions. And you know, part of this comes from our human need to be understood. We all want to be understood. No one wants to be misunderstood, right? Like, it's not a nice feeling to be misunderstood. And we are inevitably going to be misunderstood throughout our lives, probably many times. People are seeing us through their own set of experiences, through their own lens. We all have our own blind spots. Everyone's got their own experience of conditioning, culturally, socially, emotionally, and we all see things differently. No one's living inside of your brain, so no one's going to ever 100% understand word for word, 100% to a T, understand your intentions, understand the person that you are, understand your heart. And sometimes people are going to create this inaccurate narrative of who you are because it allows them to not have to face their own stuff. They're going to cast you as the star villain in the movie that they're wanting to play, because that movie or that narrative that they're playing in their mind helps protect them. It might help protect them from feeling their own fear, their own shame, their own dysfunction. So sometimes the projections that you receive, or the people who think that you're embarrassing or cringe or wrong, are part of someone else's defense mechanism. It's part of their complex web of inner narrative that allows them to feel safe. So I'm not condoning other people externalizing their shame or being contemptuous towards you. Again, set boundaries with those people, and maybe you don't want to have people like that in your inner circle or your close proximity. However, it kind of lets you off the hook a little bit. It lets you off the hook of having to micromanage every single person's possible understanding or misunderstanding of you, which, by the way, is impossible to perfectly do, because you never know what someone's actually thinking of you. There are certain people who will tell you, like, hey, I think you're cringe and embarrassing, or like, I think you're wrong for doing this thing, or I can't believe she did that, how dare she? But there's a whole lot of people who are thinking random stuff about you and they just don't admit it, right? So even if you think that you can make everyone see you the right way, even if you think, if I just do all of these things perfectly, if I'm just the best person alive, if I'm just never offending anyone, or if I'm just always coloring inside the lines of who everyone needs me to be, then I'll be safe. Then everyone will be right about me. It's a lose-lose situation. You're never gonna win. And why play a game that you're never gonna win? This is why I love this quote, let them be wrong about you. It lets you off the hook in a game that you were never meant to play. A disempowering game. Now, there's a little caveat to this. Of course, there are some situations, some relationships, where you might want to re-explain yourself. When someone has misunderstood you, let's say they're an important person in your life, you really want to keep them in your life, there's just been some kind of like miscommunication, misunderstanding, you feel like they're not seeing you right or they're judging you, you might want to engage and have a conversation and go deeper into creating connection with that person. But a lot of times we're pushing and we're re-explaining and we're walking around with an apology on the tip of our tongue before we've even done anything, before we've even really stepped out there and tried or chased that dream. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is to stop trying to change people's perceptions of you and put that energy into being the bright, brilliant person that you already are, that you really are. The next aspect of this I want to dive into with you is embracing your light and stepping into being the most unapologetic version of you, whatever that looks like for you. I'm not here to give you that definition. I truly believe being unapologetic means different things for different people. It has different ways that it expresses, how it manifests, how it actualizes for you. For some people, it's about being louder. And for some people, it's actually really owning that you're introverted and owning your light in the way that's true for you. Shining bright glistens and sparkles differently on every single person. But as I'm saying that, I'm thinking of this other quote that I love. Again, I have no idea who said this because I feel like everyone has fucking said this on the internet. But it's that quote that says, your light is going to irritate a lot of unhealed people. Kind of similar to the quote that we started with in this episode. But the reason I bring that one up again is because when you're honoring your authenticity, when you're stepping out of the fear of embarrassment and stepping into your fullest, honest expression and lifestyle and choices, when you're refusing to dim your light, you are going to be going against the grain in the eyes of a lot of people, maybe in the eyes of your culture, society, your industry, your family, your friend group. And this is going to probably mean that certain relationships might have to change form or shape, or the dynamics will shift. If people have been used to you being a certain way your entire life or the entire duration of the time you've known them and you're starting to change, of course the dynamic might shift. It might not be that dramatic. It might be really dramatic. But let's normalize that conversations might need to be had. New boundaries might need to be set and communicated, and possibly communicated multiple times. And as those relationships shift, you might start to question yourself. You might start to question, am I doing the right thing if I'm losing all these people, or I'm noticing all of these irritated projections from people? I'm noticing there's some disapproval from people that I love and care about. I'm noticing that these relationships are changing and it feels uncomfortable. I really want to normalize you in that moment of questioning and that moment of confusion and kind of the in-between of change when you're evolving from the person that you used to be into the new, perhaps more authentic, real, expressed version of you. If you're there right now, let me remind you, you're being so fucking courageous. But I think when we think of courage, we usually think of really amazing stories, right? Or like movies where the lead character is just so honorable and brave and it's just like vibes on vibes. But when you're in the moment of courage, courage doesn't feel amazing like a picture-perfect movie. You don't have the gift of hindsight yet to look back and be like, fuck yeah, I was so courageous and look how good it turned out. You're in the messy middle of it. You're probably feeling really uncomfortable. You might be questioning, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Should I really be shining this bright or making this move if it means that I'm losing these relationships or I'm disappointing certain people or I'm experiencing disapproval from others? Courage isn't the absence of those experiences. Courage is continuing to show up, shine bright, live in alignment with your values, your desires, standing out even when it goes against the grain. Courage is continuing to follow that true north, even though it's hard, even though some people think that you're cringe. It's honoring your truth. It's continuing to turn your light on, even when it's difficult to do that, even when you feel embarrassed, even when you feel like your bigness is disappointing or provoking less than desirable reactions in other people. Again, sometimes you have to let people be wrong about you. And this isn't about being rude or insensitive. I think some people, when they think of the word unapologetic, they automatically think of someone who's like a bitch and never apologizes and doesn't have any humility. To me, being unapologetic is not apologizing for your true nature. To me, it's not feeling ashamed of your light, the things that make you you, weird, quirky, different, vulnerable, but also the things that make you amazing and the things that make you stand out. You know, there's been this trend on social media recently. I think it's called something like social media is fake. Here's like 5 or 7 things that you don't know about me, or you might not know about me. And people were sharing really vulnerable things. And a lot of my friends also did it, and my peers. And they were sharing really intimate and vulnerable emotional experiences and challenges and things that they go through that you don't always see on social media. So I really appreciate the sentiment of it. And I think vulnerability and showing our messy side is definitely so important. And we need more of that on social media, for reals. However, I almost think that it's more vulnerable these days to like brag on yourself, to share the things that actually make you really fucking amazing, to share the things that you're really proud of, to like toot your own horn, you know, beep beep, I'm coming through, bitches, here's what's great about me. I think that's almost more taboo and more stigmatized than sharing the mess. I think that sharing your magic really loudly and proudly is quite edgy for a lot of people. Because undoubtedly, when you or I or whoever does that, there will be people who go, who the fuck does she think she is? How dare she have such a high level of self-approval? Isn't she so full of it? Isn't she so full of herself? I think that it's brave to toot your own horn, to let our mess and our magic coexist, and to not hold shame around either. To me, that's a definition of being unapologetic, because unapologetic in my mind and my heart and my movement, my work, means not walking around with an energetic or subtle apology on the tip of your tongue, in the back of your throat, in those shoulders of yours, in your heart, about who you really are. And that includes the stuff that you find harder to accept. And it also includes your bigness, your greatness, your radiance. That stuff is also edgy for a lot of people to share and triggering for a lot of people to see. However, the gift of you shining in your light is that it isn't rude or insensitive. To me, it's being truly embodied in spirituality and faith. Because if you believe in God or your higher power, the universe, whatever it is that you believe in, I would assume that you believe that the force of that higher power is usually something like divine love, right? Or life force energy. And everything is created from that same energy, including you. So if you're truly embodied in that divine love, that cosmic energy, that trust in the divine creator, and you're created from that same fabric of the universe, isn't being authentically who you are, exactly how you are made and exactly how you're evolving, isn't embodying that fully without an apology the epitome of spiritual living? Isn't that like the ultimate paying of respects to your higher power to show up and live as the person that you were designed to be and following your intuition, your heart, and the things that make you come alive? Isn't that sensation of what makes you come alive like the ultimate sign from the universe, or the ultimate angel sign, the ultimate instinct of where you're being called to go and who you're being called to become? And on the flip side, if you're diluting or repressing your authenticity, your emotions, your identity, your expression, your fullness, if you're keeping a lid on that or putting a whole bunch of rules and shoulds on that because of what other people think, or because it might be a bit embarrassing, or because some people might disapprove, isn't that the antithesis of living in this expansive cosmic energy? Isn't that the opposite of recognizing that you're a divine child of God? To me, that sounds more like learned conditioning. To me, that sounds more like rules that are made up, that other humans have made up in this society that you have absorbed as your code of conduct at some point. And so I have this theory that the ultimate way to worship, to pay reverence to your God or your higher power, is to live authentically and unapologetically as who you are, to be the living prayer, to be the living example of a woman or a human who is comfortable in their own skin, who lets their mess and magic coexist. And if you believe in the limitless nature of the universe, I mean, just go out into nature and you see it, right? Just go look at the stars, or look through a telescope at the planets and the size of the universe and like how small we are in the universe. It's hard to not see how limitless the universe is. If we're part of that limitless universe and consciousness, then why should your identity be limited to this very narrow set of rules of who you should be or who you shouldn't be? Why should we be embarrassed? When you think of the limitless nature of the universe, and in the scheme of things, the thing that you're worried about, the thing that you're embarrassed about, the thing that you think people are going to think you're cringe for, like that's like a tiny little dot in this incredible, brilliant, beautiful, limitless experience. And for me, at least, that puts things into perspective. It's like, oh, do I really want to sit here and send my energy towards being embarrassed about that? Or do I want to just remember for a moment that I am a soul inside of a bag of skin and bones on a spinning rock on a planet that is somehow in perfect alignment and distance to this burning thing in the sky, the sun and the moon, and it spins at the perfect time and in the perfect arrangement to have night and day and good weather, and like, you get my point. Sometimes in order for us to just let go of embarrassment and cringe and worrying about what other people think, we just have to get back into that higher perspective and remember that we have a limited amount of time in this body, in this particular lifetime, inside of that limitless universe. And do we want to spend our time sitting here embarrassed, worried what Aunt Susan might say, worried that this friend group might reject us if we pursue this dream or if we stand in our greatness? Do I really want to invest my time, energy, and focus in that, in this way? One of the most liberating realizations that you'll have on this journey of becoming more unapologetic is accepting you are responsible for your own empowerment. Embarrassment is a self-imposed barrier. We've probably absorbed it from somewhere at some point. Maybe someone told us when we were young that we should be ashamed or embarrassed about a certain way of expressing ourselves, a certain way of doing things, choice or disposition. But every time that we let that embarrassment take the wheel and steer us towards what we don't want and away from what we truly want and who we truly want to be, we are self-imposing that limitation. We are the one who is stopping ourselves from being fully expressed and fully manifested as our authentic self. Embarrassment is not real. Like, obviously, obviously it feels real in your body and it's a real thing and it's a valid thing that people experience, and I've experienced it. I don't mean to knock you down with that one, but what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be so real that it sinks its teeth into you and derails your life. It doesn't have to be the determining factor of where you end up. I've seen this quote circulating recently, and I shared it on my stories today, actually. It said, embarrassment is not real. You can literally do whatever you want. And I love it so much because my dad actually used to say this to me when I was a kid. He would say to me, embarrassment is a pointless emotion. That was his way of saying it. What he would tell me was that embarrassment didn't have any benefit to him. So because he's quite a logical guy, he's like, what's the point in doing that? I'm not going to waste my time on a pointless emotion that doesn't have this benefit to me, that doesn't get me anywhere. Just not going to send my energy there. And I thought that that was quite interesting and quite wise of him as I reflect on it, because it is true, right? Embarrassment is a perception. It's a perception that comes with an associated feeling that you feel inside your body. And you have the power to redefine it. You have the power to say, you know what? That actually doesn't get to have a chokehold on me anymore. So how you might start to play with that in your life in a really tangible way is noticing when embarrassment comes up, or you're feeling that sense of cringe, like, oh, I really want to do this thing or say this thing, but I feel like I'm cringing at myself or cringing at the thought of doing it or worrying that other people might think that I'm embarrassing or cringe. And instead of letting that momentary experience and sensation define what you do next, you sit with and become a witness to that feeling, to that stream of thought, and you decide, I'm going to embrace vulnerability or courage or take a risk in this moment instead, or simply just do something different to what you normally do. So if you normally go to step outside your comfort zone and then you feel embarrassed, and so then you retreat, you hold back in some way, or you vow to yourself, I'm never going to try that thing again because fuck, that was cringe, that was embarrassing. Become the witness of the experience and then notice, what could I do differently that actually helps me feel powerful through that experience of embarrassment, through that moment of cringe? It might be as simple as doing the thing, even though you know it's going to be embarrassing or some people are going to judge you for it, and taking that mindful moment, putting your hand on your heart and saying, you know what? It feels a bit cringe, but vulnerability and courage are important to me. So I'm going to sit here and breathe through this moment. Oh, and look, I didn't die and I got a little braver. And I'm so proud of myself because even though it was uncomfortable, I took a step towards what I actually want, and I took a step away from the patterns that are keeping me small and ultimately not happy. Now I want to talk to you about challenges along the road. What road we're on, I don't know. We're all on different roads, right? But if you're on this voyage of becoming more unapologetic, I assume you are because you're listening to this episode, we're all on different roads of how that's showing up, yeah? Some of you might be wanting to be more unapologetic in terms of your career. For some of you, it might be in your dating life. For those of you, it might be in every single category and genre of life, right? It really doesn't matter what the path is for you. For all of us, there's going to be challenges. Life's going to be lifing sometime, yeah? And a lot of the time, the reason that embarrassment or the fear of being embarrassed keeps us small or keeps us procrastinating is because we're afraid of those challenges. Somewhere in our mind, we go, if that challenge happens to me, I'm going to be embarrassed. If I put myself out there in my love life and I trust someone again and they fuck me over and that challenge occurs, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be embarrassed. It's going to be terrible. For some of you, it might be like procrastinating on starting that dream business of yours because you're afraid of the embarrassment of quitting your job and trying to make a go of it and then it doesn't work out, or you run out of money, or you have to move back in with your parents. Or perhaps your experience is that you really want to be like the hottest, healthiest version of yourself and really unapologetic in your curves and your body, and you're worried about the external challenge of figuring out how to use equipment in the gym and feeling challenged by what to wear and feeling self-conscious. Like, really, there's so many different examples that I could give here. But the point I'm trying to make is that becoming your dream, unapologetic, bad bitch self is not always going to be smooth sailing. It might look like that on Instagram when you look at other people. It might seem like that, but anyone who's doing big, cool, ballsy shit, I guarantee you they've encountered resistance, fear, imposter syndrome, the voice in their head that's like, who the fuck am I? What am I doing? Who do I think I am? Pressure, stresses. As they say, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Ahoy. I'm full of all the quotes today. I'm such a corny gal in that way, but cliches and cliche quotes are cliches for a reason, right? They're usually full of all the good shit, full of all the true stuff. So this is your reminder that part of becoming a resilient bad bitch and unapologetic and unbothered and ungovernable by people with small minds is challenges that help you become stronger. Challenges and little blips in the road that help you to become more self-aware, to become more of that bitch who can rise up through anything, to become the woman who can turn the pain into the power, that can turn the challenges into higher perspectives, the woman who can take her own shit and turn it into a permission slip for someone else or even just for herself. So remember, if you're feeling the growing pains, if you're afraid of taking a step because you're worried about challenges, start to see those challenges as stepping stones. If you want to go to the places that you want to go, challenges are part of that ascension journey. And what you'll learn through challenges is going to be far more exciting to you and far more rewarding and worth it than the momentary comfort and satisfaction that you're going to get from staying in your comfort zone and choosing to not do the things, choosing to stay where you are because you're afraid of making those mistakes or experiencing those bumps in the road. Something else I wanted to cover in this episode is this thing that I hear all the time from my clients. I have a lot of clients who are online creators, entrepreneurs, coaches, healers, etc. I also have clients who are not in my industry or in business at all. But across the two groups and these intersections of women, the same thing tends to come up. And that is this fear of becoming unapologetic because you're worried that people won't think that you're kind. People will think that you're not a safe person anymore. In essence, there's this fear of alienating people and not wanting to lose the side of yourself that's that supportive gem. You know, like the part of you that loves to show up for people, that loves to be kind, that wants to please everyone and wants everyone to feel special and safe. Now, here's the thing with this. Being unapologetic doesn't mean that you have to lose these beautiful aspects of yourself. you can actually be more of a quote unquote safe person or a safe coach, or space holder, friend, whoever you are, through your honesty. When you are not being honest with yourself, who you are, you're not being honest with others. If you're wearing a mask, if you're saying the things that other people want to hear, but what you're saying is different to how you authentically feel inside, what you really think, that's not actually fully honest. And part of creating supportive relationships, creating supportive communities, and being a brave, honest, and quote unquote safe space for other people is being authentic, so that people know who you really are and they can decide for themselves whether you represent safety for them or not. One of the things that I've learned in the different trauma-informed space holding trainings that I've done is that you can't actually guarantee a safe space for other people as a space holder. The underlying premise of that is that safety looks and feels different for every single person. What feels safe in my body might be different and a different context for what is safe in your body. Because we're all different, yeah? We all have different fears and experiences, beliefs and traumas and histories. So what I really feel is the best thing to do, whether you're someone who's a coach or a space holder like me, or you're just someone who wants to be that quote unquote safe friend, that person that people can go to, that they can trust. The best way to do that is to be a trustworthy person. And to be a trustworthy person is to be an honest and authentic person, and to let people decide, does her expression and her embodiment feel like a yes for me or a no? Instead of trying to contort yourself into what you think they need in order to feel safe. Instead of making yourself smaller so that other people don't get triggered by your bigness, by your light, when actually, honestly, deep inside, you're a big, bad, bold-spirited biatch. So the beautiful thing that tends to happen as you do this is you naturally attract certain people and repel others. When you're someone who is that living, breathing embodiment of uplifting yourself, walking in your power and your humility, being self-encouraging, being self-actualized, you're naturally going to have people seek you out that want to be in that same frequency with you, that want to be there for the uplifting stuff, that also want to be self-empowered or already are, the ones that love that you're self-actualized and are on that journey too. And then the people who are not ready for that, or they're not about that, they're going to naturally be repulsed by you. Now, this is obviously a bit of a problem if you're someone who has the conditioning and the pattern of wanting everyone to love you, wanting everyone to accept you, wanting everyone to like you and be about it. But as I've shared so many times in this episode, you've got to let some people be wrong about you. You've got to let some people just not be about you as well. If they're not into you, let them not be into it. Your job isn't to fit the mold in a million people's minds. Your job is to show up honestly and in integrity with who you really are and let the right people come and be about it. So I'm going to wrap this episode in a moment. Here's what I want to leave you with. Start to think of embarrassment as a choice rather than an impulse that shows up and that takes the wheel. So while you might not be able to just delete that feeling of embarrassment immediately or ever, become the witness to it. And think of it like this. When you feel embarrassed, all you did is temporarily drop your power. So imagine your power is in your hands and you notice that you're getting the ick towards yourself when you're gonna like take a big leap or express yourself or have a certain conversation or pursue something. Notice the cringe, the ick, the embarrassment. What does that sensation feel like in your body? And instead of letting it run away like a runaway roller coaster, go, oh, I just dropped my power. I'm just going to pick it back up off the floor. And the way that you do that is by being a witness to the embarrassment and then choosing a different behavior, choosing a different response, instead of reacting how you normally would when you get embarrassed, which for a lot of people is to like play small, dim yourself down, procrastinate, not do the thing, diminish yourself. Can you try and do the opposite? Or can you try and take a step in a different direction that's actually in alignment with the person that you want to become? Which for most of you is probably the baddest bitch alive. So ask yourself, what would the baddest bitch alive do when she feels embarrassed or when she dropped her power? Would she retreat or procrastinate or play small? Or would she do this other thing and start to flex that new muscle? Start to lean into the edges that feel edgy for you. So if you're quite good at talking about the things that are messy or the things that you struggle with, your edge might be starting to own, express, and celebrate the things that are actually lit about you, the things that are great about you. On the flip side, if you're someone who's always that happy-go-lucky, life of the party, clown of the classroom, always got a smile on your face, seeing the positive, you might find it edgier to share your mess, to share the vulnerable parts of you that feel a little bit more flawed. And if that's the case, then your journey to being more unapologetic and moving through embarrassment and hopefully letting that embarrassment go could be leaning into that edge, daring to be more quote unquote imperfect, more vulnerable and more courageous in that way. Either way, power to you, babe. And I want to leave you with one last quote, because this is the episode of quotes. This is my own quote that I actually wrote on Instagram today. And it's this: good girls may go to heaven, but bad girls experience heaven on earth because they are unashamed and ungoverned by made up rules about who they should or shouldn't be. And I just love this quote from myself, completely biased, tooting my own horn. But the reason I love it so much is because I think we waste so many precious moments in this one beautiful life worried about or giving energy to things that really don't matter in the scheme of things. And at worst, actually take away from your life force, take away from your happiness, and take away from your purpose in this world. And I really believe your purpose is to show up and shine brightly and to give the unique gifts that you have to give in this world. And that isn't just gifts via business or entrepreneurship or talents and skills that you have in your career. Part of your gift in this world is to shine as the person that you are, to shine in the ways that you uniquely shine, and to add that light to other people's lives. And it's very hard to do that at fullest volume and capacity when so much of our brain power and our heart power and our focus is going towards stupid fucking rules about who you're meant to be or how you're supposed to shrink yourself to fit in. We ain't got time for that anymore, girls, all right? So I hope this episode lit a very hot fire under your ass. And bonus points to you, if you listen to this and you go and make a move based on everything that you've just heard. So you've probably heard before, yes, another quote that says, information is not the same as transformation. Or I've also heard people say, information is different to integration. So this podcast is full of inspiration and information. The next step is for you to go and integrate it, to act on it, to make a move from the new awareness or the aha moments that you've had today. So go and start that process. If you make a bold move and you want to celebrate, if you're weighing your pants and you need some support, send me a message on Instagram and let me know what bold move or conversation or choices you're choosing to make based on the inspiration that you took away from today's episode. I'd love to hype you up and party with you in my Instagram DMs and celebrate the shit out of you. I'm sending you so much love. Have the most beautiful day, and please leave a review for the show if you have a moment now. Big love, honeys. Love you all so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is This Is Amy Rushworth, or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode, and until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.